From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 26th day of February 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. In agricultural news, the Senate Majority Leader is looking to rapidly overhaul the nation's energy policy, though he doubts the political will is at hand. And USDA is projecting ethanol use to increase this year and for farmers to harvest 86 million acres of corn and 77 million acres of soybeans. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And then we'll take another look at the government's new farm safety net and just how much it could pay out this season. It is, of course, called the Acre Program. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $5.14, down 10 and 3 quarters today. May at 5.25, 10 and 3 quarters lower. And July contract at 5.36 and 3 quarters, down 10 and 3 quarters. March corn futures at $3.62, a penny and 3 quarters lower. The May at 3.70 and a half, down 1 and 3 quarters. July futures, a penny and 3 quarters lower at 3.80 and a quarter. And September corn, $3.89 and a half, down 1 1/4. December futures, $4.02 and a quarter, down a penny and a half. April crude oil futures, $2.72 higher. Ethanol is up, down 3/10 at $1.57 4/10. And RBOB gasoline at $1.29 2/10 is 12.5 cents higher for the afternoon. March soybean futures at $8.69 1/4, down 8 3/4 cents. The May at $8.68 1/2, down 11 1/2. July 11 3/4 lower at $8.73 1/4, and the November beans at $8.38 finished the day unchanged. March bean meal at $2.69, down $3.80. May at $2.63.20, down $4.20. March bean oil at 26 cents lower at $31.64. Feb live cattle, $82.95, a buck higher. April futures at $85.82 1/2, up 97 1/2 cents. March feeders at $92.30, $1.70 higher. The April at $93.85, up 227 1/2, and April lean hogs a 12 1/2 cent loss at $58.97 1/2 for the afternoon. From the University of Illinois campus, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil, once again, $2.72 higher a barrel at $45.22 for the nearby April contract. May futures in the crude at $47.47, $2.81 higher. March ethanol at $1.57 4/10, 3/10 lower. April down 9/10 at $1.56 7/10. Natural gas at $4.08, 5 1/10 cents higher. And the May futures at $4.16 9/10, up 5 1/10. RBOB gasoline at $1.29 2/10, 12 1/2 cents higher. The April futures at $1.38 2/10, up 11 6/10. March heating oil $1.28 6/10, 4 8/10 higher. That's diesel fuel. Propane now 63 2/10 cents. They're up 3 1/10 cents at this hour. And gold futures are now trading $23.90 lower at $941.80 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, just a loss of 30 points at 72.40 for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 87.73 is down 0.15 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight. In northern and west-central Illinois, should be cloudy with some rain. That'll change to snow. In the remainder of Illinois and the western part of Indiana, showers, a few thunderstorms, most numerous before midnight. In eastern and central Indiana, occasional showers, some thunderstorms, they'll diminish towards sunrise. Lows this evening will range from 18 in northwestern Illinois to around 45 in the far south. Tomorrow, a few showers possible in the south early in the day, otherwise partly to mostly cloudy, windy and colder. Highs tomorrow will range from 24 in northwestern Illinois to 48 in southern Indiana. The forecast, of course, provided by our very own forecaster. His name is Mike Sola, right here at this radio station, AM 580 in Urbana-Champaign.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agriculture Director Dave Dickey. The 2009 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting may be our best ever. Featured analysts include Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises, ADM Chief Economist Perry Dixon, Westchester CEO Murray Wise, Bob Bastifer of First Midwest Bank, U of I Agricultural Economist Gary Schnicke, and WILL Meteorologist Ed Kieser. That's March 12th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Full details are on our website at WILLAG.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting. The Andersons, AgriGold Hybrids, ADM Investment Services, and L&M Commodities.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group is traveling this week. We did catch up with him. He's in Dallas, Texas at the Commodity Classic. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How's Texas? Soon to be your home state, I think.
It's great down here. Yesterday when we got here, it was like upper 70s, lower 80s, sunny. It's kind of nice to leave the winter Illinois behind us.
Indeed. A lot of farmers there?
Oh, yeah. This is a big crowd. And, of course, this is the Commodity Classic, which is basically the conventions of the National Corn Growers and the American Soybean Association. And of course, we've got states, I think probably, you know, almost every agricultural state anyway represented with one of the organizations. So there is a lot of people here in Dallas today.
Are farmers in a nervous mood about the marketplace?
Well, they're concerned with what the market has been doing. Most had hoped that we would maybe get a February rally or an early spring rally. So they're still trying to, think positively that we can maybe get something like that as we go down the road. But so they are a little concerned, just like farmers every place that I've been this winter, is that the market is not performing the way they had planned when they got off the combine last fall.
Not performing the way they had planned, but some are thinking that maybe a near-term low at a minimum has been put into place. How about you?
Well, I don't know if I want to quite go that far. I mean, there's some technical, cyclical work that maybe indicate that we could make a stand here. But when we get to the last of each month, well, a lot of times we go opposite the dominant trend. And basically what we're seeing here in the grain complex, we're even seeing that in the energy complex, is we're seeing short covering or short profit taking. The people that were short the market are printing their profits and bringing it home. The weakness that we're seeing in the metals that's been up is long profit taking. We've seen some short profit taking in the stock indexes here. So it's kind of a misreading if you think this is a low. It could be a low, but you're going to have to see some new buying interest come into the complex across the board next week, the first week of the new month. Or otherwise, we're going to resume the downtrend that we've been basically into since the first part of January.
So you think a downtrend, and then you target, what, the 305 area and the lead option and 350 in the harvest month?
Well, I don't know if I want to. Definitely the
those
target
the
is going. Those are the December lows. I suppose that's going to be the target. You can read much lower prices if the market decides to want to go down there, but that'll be the first target anyway. We'll be go down to check out those early December lows. We might be able to make a stand, maybe make a double bottom. We've talked about it here on WLL, and a lot of market analysts have been trying to make a head and shoulders bottom work in corn and soybeans. They still may. We don't know yet. We'll have to see. But we do need to see some new buying come into the complex here first part of the month to kind of make a stand. We need to see the stock market and try to make some kind of stand, and it's having a hard time. The whole world is still concerned about global recession concerns, weakening demand, and that's being reflected in commodity prices also.
In the newscast in just a couple of minutes, we'll hear about USDA's numbers released this morning. Any chatter at all about that 86 million acre corn figure and 77 million acre soybean figure?
I don't know of a soul that really believes that number, Todd. but they may end up being right. I mean, farmers want to plant corn, but I've been too many places in the Midwest this winter in the soils that are less productive, more marginal, more susceptible to adverse weather conditions summer. Those acres are going to go to soybeans. So I guess I'm in the camp that would see a much larger increase in soybean acres, and we would see a decrease in corn acres. Now, whether or not USDA reports that at the end of March, we'll have to kind of see that. I mean, they're out doing their survey now because the survey is going to be as of March 1. But I don't know if anybody's going to feel real comfortable with those numbers, because farmers are still very flexible as the growing season approaches.
And we should probably be clear that those numbers are harvested acres from USDA, and the numbers we'll get at the end of March, of course, will be planting intentions or planted acres, and there's always a difference between those two.
Well, those numbers, I think the Newswire reported them as harvested. If that's harvested, that means we're increasing way high.
Right.
I think they made a mistake. That those are actually planted acres that USDA is wanting to use,
I
think,
wondered
on
about
there.
That. Well, we went with what the Newswires have reported, and maybe I can get that checked.
Newswire was on a mistake because there's just no way. That means we'd have to plant something like 94 or 95.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. No, when I saw that this morning, that was kind of, somebody must have quickly, and then I think the first run on the news release called them billion, too. So everybody's so confused with how much money we're spending, whether we're spending billions or trillions or millions. That's being reflected, too, in the news wires.
Hey, have you checked the price of land down there? How's things going in Texas, by the way?
Texas is a booming economy, believe it or not. There's some areas that's slow, but this is altogether different economy down here than what you're going to see in the Midwest.
Well, tell me, not about Texas, but let's go back to the commodity markets here just a bit. What are you telling producers? Because I know they're asking things like, I've got old crop, it's not in my bin, I'm paying storage on it. What should I do for corn?
Well, I've been in the camp, turn stuff to cash. Cash is king for a long time, and I think they need to use rallies to do that on. It may be kind of hard to see much of a rally, but we did get a little bounce here this week. I haven't given up on more of one here as we go into March, but I am encouraging people that they need to protect the downside, whether they need to buy some puts, whatnot, because I do think this market still has downside price vulnerabilities. So in some instances, basis levels have come in very strong form, so they can move grain out on a basis contract. But I'm still encouraging them to attach a put or some kind of option strategy to that cash contract to protect them. Because as I would like to be bullish, there is downside risk in this economy, at least the way things are going for right now. So turn stuff to cash. But still have some downside pricing protection on any kind of inventory you move into the marketplace with a basis contract or free DP or something like that.
Whether that's new or old crop, any inventory, either way, new or old crop, if you're going to turn it into cash later, you want to protect the downside then.
I think the downside is needed to be protected here, at least in the near term. Now, there may come a day that we don't need to worry about downside protection, but at least for right now, until these markets begin to settle down somewhat, there's downside price risk.
Well, then finally, because we'll be setting the price for crop insurance here pretty shortly, are you suggesting they lock that down in another form too, or not?
Well,
on the new crop, because on the new crop, if they haven't made sales, they won't have to worry about it because they'll be protected on 75 or 65 or 85% of it, right?
Yeah, they are. But they got to keep in mind it doesn't, they know that it doesn't cover everything. But the crop insurance product is a way to at least protect some downside price risk at this point. And I guess, I think the corn acres are going to be shortened up enough that and usually there's some kind of weather problem in the Corn Belt that I guess I think that we'll see some pricing opportunities in corn as we go forward. pricing opportunities in soybeans may be a little more difficult to come by because less bullish corn will be a little bearish beans, and we are in a supply-driven market nowadays. We are not in a demand-driven situation, so price strength is going to have to come from supply shortening events to get a big boom out of this marketplace. And, you know, the next one up here is the growing season, and if we get into some adverse growing season weather, then that's going to pop up these markets. And the first thing, West bullish corn is going to be a little bearish beans. It doesn't necessarily have to be super bearish, but it'll make beans struggle if we do get into some planting delays and ideas that corn plantings are going to fall 2, 3, 4 million acres.
Dan, thanks much.
Very well.
Have fun there in Dallas.
Okay.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
In just a moment, Dave Dickey will be here. He'll take us all the way through what's happening in the world of agricultural news. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. And then in just a little less than 2 weeks, our all-day Ag Outlook meeting will happen over at the Beef House. You can find out all the information on it at willag.org.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In agricultural news, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the time has come for another rapid overhaul of U.S. energy policies to spur the growth of renewable energy, modernize the nation's electric grid, and combat climate change. However, Reid warned an audience attending a clean energy conference in Washington that he fears such legislation will not make it through the Senate. Reid says Republicans may believe clean energy initiatives equate to expanded federal government programs. U.S. farmers will harvest 86 million acres of corn and 77 million acres of soybeans this year, based on U.S. Agriculture Department planning projections released this morning. At its annual Outlook Forum, USDA projected corn use for ethanol to rise 14% in 2009. USDA projected wheat sowings at 58 million acres during 2009, a decline from the 63.1 million acres a year ago. The department also forecast farm exports during 2009 to fall to $95.5 billion, down $20 billion from the prior year, with imports poised to rise to $82.5 billion compared with $79.3 billion in 2008. National Farmers Union President Tom Bias is stepping down March 15th from his job at the union in order to join pro-ethanol group Growth Energy as CEO. NFU is considered the farm group that is the closest to the Obama administration, so the addition of Bias to Growth Energy may create a bipartisan team that could challenge the Renewable Fuels Association as the lead lobbying group on ethanol. U.S. farmers expressed a mix of skepticism and concern yesterday following a call by President Barack Obama for an end to certain subsidies for agriculture. Obama, in his first speech to Congress on Tuesday, said the U.S. should end, quote, direct payments to large agribusinesses that don't need them. Rick Tolman, chief executive of the National Corn Growers Association, says, quote, it is certainly something that makes good rhetoric to say we're going to cut direct payments to agribusiness, but I'm not sure what it really means at this point. Farm groups say that Obama apparently meant a farm subsidy known as direct payments that was created in 2002 and made regardless of crop prices or farm profits. But the term can also encompass all types of federal support made in cash, from crop supports to conservation to marketing research. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now up next, the final specs for the new federal farm program called ACRE are still being worked out. Yet, as you'll hear, University of Illinois ag economists say enough is known about how the Farm Safety Net program works to give landowners and farmers a good feel for whether or not it will be worth joining. We'll hear more about that in just a moment.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
The revenue guarantee for the ACRE program for the 2009 growing season will be based on the last 5 years' worth of statewide yields and the last 2 years of prices, or the 2007 and 2008 marketing years. Since the 08 marketing year is not complete until the fall of 2009, the revenue guarantee won't be known exactly until the end of September, says Nick Paulson.
But right now, it looks like it's going to be in the neighborhood of $600 on corn acres. $400 on bean acres and about $345 on wheat acres.
Paulson is a farm policy expert from the University of Illinois. On first blush, he says those numbers look very worthwhile, but that may not be the case after a closer look.
One of the problems with ACRE, and I don't know if problem is the correct word, but once you do elect to be in the ACRE program, you're stuck in that, for lack of a better word, through 2012. And this choice is made on a FSA farm ID basis, so it is possible within your operation to have a certain number of your farms in ACRE and a certain number still in the traditional programs. Another thing with the ACRE program is that the state-level revenue measure has to fall below the state-level guarantee, but to be eligible for a payment, the farmer's farm-level revenue also has to fall below a farm benchmark. So you have to prove farm-level losses. So what that means is you're going to have to prove yield histories if you sign up for ACRE, and you're also going to have to provide records on an annual basis to prove your yields in each year moving forward.
All that extra paperwork has already caused producers to shun the program even before it's begun, although Paulson says he thinks it's a reasonable request. When the farm programs changed in 2002, there was a similar paperwork shuffle. Farmers didn't like having to prove their base yields then, and given the choice, it appears they may avoid it now. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, I finally got a moment to catch my breath and have a little help with checking out some of those numbers from USDA. And Dave Dickey, turn around and take a look at them again from the actual reports. And indeed, they are the planted acreage and not harvested acreage figures. So that planted acreage figure that USDA threw out this morning is 86 million for corn, 77 million acres for soybeans. In just 2 minutes here on the Closing Market Report, we'll call and talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us.
It's National Pistachio Day. No one knows why the day is celebrated in February. Pistachios are actually harvested in the U.S. in September. It's said that individuals who stand among pistachio trees and hear ripening fruit pop open will have good luck and fortune. On this day in agricultural history in 1852, John Harvey Kellogg was born. He was a surgeon, vegetarian, and health food pioneer. While superintendent at the Battle Creek Sanitarium, he developed the first breakfast cereals for his patients, flaked wheat and toasted cornflakes. His brother, William W. Kellogg, founded the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflakes Company to produce cornflakes for sale to the public. In 1895, Michael Joseph Owens of Toledo, Ohio, patent an automatic glass-blowing machine that could make multiple bottles at the same time. It was a big advance in bottle making. He eventually founded the Owens Bottle Machine Company and the Libby Owens Glass Company. The company specializes in glass for aircrafts, cars, trains, and, of course, cooking utensils. In 1903, Richard Jordan Gatling died. Before inventing the Gatling gun, he was instrumental in agriculture. He developed a machine for sowing rice, wheat, and other grains, and invented a steam plow, what we would today call a tractor. He also invented a process for steam cleaning raw wool and a wheat drill. Much of the manufacture of Gatling's ag imports occurred in St. Louis. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. On hand with us today, Pete Levitt, meteorologist out of Massachusetts. Good afternoon to you, Pete. Thanks for being with us. Tell me about the weather forecast here in the Midwest, please.
Well, we've got a storm system already underway in the Midwest. The storm center now close to Lamona, Iowa. And it's moving east-northeastward, and will be moving across northern Illinois late today and tonight, probably be close to Chicago, as a matter of fact, around midnight tonight. It's producing quite a bit of rain in the northern half of the state, and the rain then eases over towards snow as you get further into the northwest, but you have to really get all the way up into Minnesota before you see any real snow. So it's basically a rainstorm as it comes through late today and tonight, and it will be clearing out and turning windy and much colder tomorrow and tomorrow night, and there may be a few snow showers on the back end of this. It also has the potential to produce a few severe thunderstorms downstate later today because the temperatures are getting up there and the moisture's up there, and it's a strong cold front coming through. So that may all combine to produce a little severe weather in the southern third of Illinois late today, maybe this evening or tonight.
Go ahead.
As it continues on eastward, colder air will come in, and we'll see much colder weather during the next 3 or 4 days, temperatures getting down into the teens at night on Sunday, Saturday night and Sunday night. But then they'll be coming back the latter part of next week. The good news is that after this system goes by, we're not looking at any significant precipitation for most of the region through the next this next week. We are seeing the possibility of getting a little light snow coming down through Iowa and southwestern Illinois on Saturday night. It's just a brief secondary frontal system coming out of the northwest. I don't expect much out of that, but it may throw some snow down there. So fairly cold weather.
Turn your attention to South America for me.
Yeah, in South America, things have been up and down. We did get some rain in the Argentine, so things are improving there, and probably enough moisture for the late planted soybean crop there to get going, though the corn was pretty much DOA in some of those counties along the river in Argentina, which had seen quite a bit of heat and drought. I think it's getting a little too wet in southern Brazil, although right now they're not complaining about the rain. I think they will be because this pattern looks to be very wet from southern Brazil northward. They're getting a little respite for the next few days in the west central areas in the Mato Grosso region, but I think the rains will come back there, and they'll get excessive rains in RGDS, so I think that's a problem area. I think the major problem area still to look forward to, or maybe not with much pleasure look forward to, is drought conditions developing in our hard winter wheat belt. That's been going on for some time. It continues. Temperatures warm up. It'll become more severe. And I think that's going to be the real problem as we move into the new crop period this spring.
Pete, thanks much.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Learned Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.